If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listing on Wednesday, we have an appointment with Destiny.
Greetings in the divine love of the Supreme Spirit. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. Let's see, this evening our seminar topic is The Price of Peace is Mastering Your Mind. So, if you're ready to take this on, take a deep breath. Ah. And just allow the peace of God to be present with you now. Let everything else go. Let's take another deep breath. And evoke the spirit of peace into your mind, into every level of your emotions, your body, throughout your whole being. Allow the golden nectar of the spirit of peace to anoint you. Let's take another deep breath. And welcome the spirit of peace, the anointing of the spirit of peace, the strength and empowerment that only the peaceful know. Own that. Receive of it. Know that it is your right to ask for, call forward, and receive the spirit of peace. Very good. Nothing else is important. Only this moment. Everything you have been concerned and worried about has already been taken care of. It's already been worked out and resolved. Why? Because, as we often remind you, Earth is in a time lag. We're simply marking through steps we've already taken, experiences already undergone, and resolutions that have already been played out. Moreover, you are living all of the levels beneath the fifth plane or fifth kingdom of the soul, all of the universes and galaxies and worlds and planets and suns and moons and cycles of creation within the realms of the psychic and material planes are completed. There's nothing new going on. You're simply recycling consciousness that's already become conditioned. In other words, acted out. It's only when you move into the pure positive realms of spirit, of the soul, the Atma, that you are actually in true creation. But at that level, you create through joy and bliss and ever-expanding love. You don't create through the mind. You create through the living spirit and living word and living love of the living God. And you go forth as a divine co-worker to create anew, fresh, beautiful, new creations untouched by time and death and duality and polarization, conflict, war, etc. Those things are only experienced within the past. They do not exist in the present divine here and now. That's why living in soul awareness, learning how to move your consciousness above the psychic and material mind fields, boy, they are minefields, is how you stay free. You'll have to transcend. And only you can do that. Only you can take dominion, authority over your thoughts and your mind and where you choose to place them. Because the price of peace is mastering your mind. Now, the simplest way that I've shared many seminars with you of immediately spiritualizing the mental flow and coming into a resonance that harmonizes with the highest positive realms of divine spirit is by chanting the hue. You may think that's a little thing, but how can it be a little thing to call upon the absolute supreme God of all gods with love? How could that ever not be effective? So we're going to chant you right now. But don't just chant it. Let your heart sing it with great love to your Creator, to Almighty God, who lives in you, in your heart, and expresses through you as unconditional love and peace and joy. So let's take a deep breath. You. Mind and breath and being. I love you. You are the love that sustains, that heals, that fulfills and completes this that I am. An empty chalice through which and into which you pour your everlasting love. May I, O Lord, be a chalice of living love poured forth for the blessing of everyone and everything that comes into my mind, that crosses my path, or that I have in me interaction with whatsoever. I belong to you, Lord. I am your own. And you belong to me. So, to the one who lives in love, The evidence will be the peace that surrounds and fills that person. So just as the waves of Maya and duality and polarization and the conditioned flows and momentums fill these lower psychic and material worlds with duality and polarized experience, we learn through the grace of the spirit of peace that dwells within every heart that loves the Lord. We learn to walk the middle way. We learn to become harmless in our intention. And a person who is 100% harmless will never be attacked. That's why the great yogis and yoginis in the Himalayas, Lord Buddha, for example, when he would sit and meditate, the cobras would come and sometimes crawl around him and shelter his head from the sun with their hoods. You know those statues of Buddha that have those little round things on his skull? Do you know what those are? Those are snails that crawled up onto his head to prevent him from burning the burning fires of his intense spiritual practice. We've heard the story of how the prophet Elijah was fed morning and evening with bread and meat as he dwelt in meditation by the river Cherith. And many are the stories of the great Mahapurushas and Rishis who were fed with roots and berries and nuts by the wild animals that looked after them. How the deer would come and nestle close to these great Purushas to keep them warm at night. And other wild animals, but not one would ever, ever harm these great yogis. You are all great yogis and yoginis. You are all great rishis and masters. Those of you that I'm speaking to, that hold close to these seminars, have been in the Himalayas, have been in these divine states. And I have come to call you out and call you forward in your divinity. I have come to sound the keynote that you hear in your innermost being, as the one who knows, as the ancient one, you know, there is nothing you do not know, because the soul itself is the state of seeing and knowing and being. The thing of it is, the mind is curious. The ego wants to know what's going to happen in the future so that it can have control, so that it can manipulate the outcome. That is not spirituality. Those are mental tricks. But the only fool turns out to be yourself. Why should you care what happens tomorrow if you know who rules the moment? That beloved dwells within you as the knower. It's not something you really have to seek very far. It's within your breath, within your heartbeat, within your innermost sense of rightness. We all know that place. We've all touched to it. And we've all ignored it at times. That still, small voice that says, no, don't marry that person. You all know when that person is not the right one. You all know. There's none of us that have not been aware of that little nudge that says, beware. This person is not on the same page with you. And they're not going to change. You're going to have to give over part of yourself in a compromise that you really don't want to make to stay with that person. But very often we just go ahead anyway, don't we? We've all had these experiences. But we always know, there's always a knowing. There's always a knowing when you shouldn't go someplace. You shouldn't travel on a certain date. You shouldn't get on that boat or that plane. You know when the 9/11 happened, the World Trade Centers came down? There were many, 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 many hundreds of devotees of Satya Sai Baba that worked in one of those two World Trade Center buildings. Do you know that not one single one of them made it to work that day? And some of them were very upset because maybe the child threw up on their dress and now the person's going to be late for work. They have to wash the kid and change the dress. Or maybe they had a flat tire, their car wouldn't start. Maybe they even had a row with their mate. Whatever it was, not one single one made it to work. Because they listened to the voice of the master. Who is the master? Anyone who speaks with loving wisdom. So sometimes you're the master. But within everyone there is the master, which is the indwelling Christ consciousness, or the inner knower, or the spirit of peace. You see, we put all these names and labels. But it's always the one divine voice that gives wise counsel. We make up the labels and the definitions and the separations. And this one is greater and that's lesser. And all this nonsense is what the mind makes up to spoil the present moment of absolute surety, safety, and protection. Absolute. Divine protection. Protection. If you listen, if you pay attention, because that divine self that you are wants you to live a life that's safe and protected and integrated and still and peaceful so that it can operate through your instrument. The Holy Spirit will never enter in where there's not harmony. You have to be in one accord for the anointing of the Holy Spirit to operate through you. One accord. That's why when two or more touch to anything in agreement, that is to say in one accord, that activates the Christ principle of manifestation. but its manifestation through harmony, through one accord. So you can't just be a little bit out of disharmony. Jesus, in A Course of Miracles, says that peace is like pregnancy. It's all together or not at all. So you can't harbor that little niggly grievance against anyone, even your elected leader and leaders, and say that you're in one accord with the divine spirit. No, you're not. You're in againstness and polarized opinion, and that's not soul awareness. Does that mean you walk through life just ignoring things that are going on and not being proactive? No, that's silly. You do your dharma. What is your dharma? It's to love all and serve all. And be the most excellent version of yourself you can possibly present to the Lord for His infilling and utilization. Who is that Lord? It's the self, the one divine self that is play-acting through all the myriad of forms. That means there's one appearing as the many. And so the whole Maya is to see beyond, to look beyond what you see in the outer. And you look directly into the heart and see the face of the Christ. That means also when you look in the mirror, you look beyond whether you're fat or thin or whatever you are, and you see the absolute immaculate, pure, and holy Christed being that you are. And that's what you move toward. That's what you move within. And that's what you hold around and before you as your true identity. And that takes self-awareness and self-discipline. Because the voice of the world is simply the re-echoing of ignorance and mental programmings. Old rehashed patterns that have seen their day and been resolved. And there is nothing new under the sun. That's within the lower realms that have your physical body, your etheric body, your emotional body, your imaginative body, your thinking body, your separate sense of self body or ego. And that's where all your problems lie. Because you have bought into and identified yourself with one of those levels that is not who you are. These are patterns that you have set into motion, and they're your own children of consciousness that must come to you to be cleared and redeemed and healed. Who else are they going to go to? They're your creation. The difference is when you, as a light worker, go into one of your angry rages, instead of dropping dead from a heart attack or having somebody with road rage run into your car and take you out, you might have a little cut on your face or someplace else so that the blood is shed. But not your life, not your body. That's how important it is to keep your mind focused Godward. Because these patterns you've set into motion, you must be held accountable for. But the grace of the Lord greatly lessens and mitigates. I remember one time I was up at a Sai Baba retreat. And for some reason, I had to go down the mountain to get something on a break. I don't remember what. But of all the strange things to happen, I opened my car door, and the edge of the door cut my eye just above on the eyebrow. And a copious amount of blood came forth. So I had a packet of Satya Sai Baba's ash called Vibhuti, and I opened it and I stuck it on the eyebrow. So the blood stopped, and the blood actually hardened, so it looked like part of my eyebrow. Very interesting. I mean, I couldn't make that happen in a million years if I tried to. And as I was standing there, Sai Baba gave me a flash that had I gone down the hill, I would have had a car accident and shed a lot of blood. But through his grace, he had lessened that karma to a little gash above my eyebrow. So I'm just saying that we don't get free until we completely give ourselves lock, stock, and barrel, heart, mind, body, soul, into the care and keeping of the Lord. And then you live a charmed life. It'll be a life of difficulties, because all lives down here are, particularly if this is your last incarnation and you're finishing it up. But you'll not be given anything that the grace of God doesn't anesthetize you to the point that you can deal with it and not be taken over by it. So sometimes we will bring forward experiences and things that are very, very difficult. And I certainly have had a life filled with those. But I can't tell you that they bothered me. Well, you know, sometimes I think back and I think, oh my gosh, how did I get through that? But I felt such absolute loving devotion to my beloved Lord that I don't remember much else. I remember my husband and I came back after 6 months living in India, and we couldn't get a place to live. We couldn't get anything because we couldn't account for where we had been for the last 6 months that made sense to anyone. And so nobody gave us credit or would, you know, find us credible to allow us to rent an apartment. But every single night, not knowing where we would stay or what we would eat, we were accommodated by some kind stranger that just spontaneously invited us into their home, prepared the most delicious meals for us. But all day we would sit in the park and chant the sacred names of God and talk about God. And we were so intoxicated with the love of God that, to tell you the honest truth, I don't remember much of anything else. But after 9 months of that, the apartment that we were supposed to be in was offered to us, fully furnished, by a kindly man who was also a mystic, who understood and saw who we truly were. So sometimes we go through very otherwise difficult situations, but we don't notice them very much because our focus is inward and Godward, and we're suffused with the love of the presence of the Beloved. How do you get into that place? We showed you as we started the seminar tonight that you chant the hue with all your heart. And then you begin to express your love for God. You tell God how much you love. And you'll find with everything you say from your heart, your whole being will begin to open up as a beautiful rose of radiance and divine perfume. If you could see yourself clairvoyantly, which you can if you choose to look, you would be amazed. That's called worshiping God in spirit and in truth. Otherwise, you're usually doing a supplication or a bartering deal or something that you want of your lower self. You know, the purest form of prayer is just to express your love and your gratitude. Because everything else that you need, God has already handled and provided for you without your needing to know how or when or where or any of that. This is a divine life. And those that live this kind of life have peace, whether they're in a concentration camp, like the very holy sister of Corrie ten Boom, two sisters taken, and one lived in the peace and love of God. And Corrie lived in hatred and resentment. But she changed. She changed. I heard her speak many, many years ago. But what is it that would cause a great saint like Polycarp or Joan of Arc or any number of great martyrs? How could they possibly go to that fire or beheading or whatever with absolute peace of mind? Because they knew that the moment they dropped the body, they would be with their beloved. And they had no fear. Well, I can remember being martyred at least twice. I can distinctly remember the feeling of it. And I can remember when I was released from the prison of the body and into the presence of the Beloved. And I can tell you as an absolute fact, nobody is ever in their body when they're actually being killed. The grace of God lifts you out of the body before that plane crashes, before that car crashes, before that whatever it is occurs to the body, because you are not the body, and you are immortal. Nothing can touch you or harm you in any way, shape, or form. Nobody is ever in their body when they're a victim of some crime.
I know I've had experiences, and of course I've heard stories, and nobody suffers at that moment. The suffering is, you see, when we're born, because we leave that presence of heavenly beauty and love, and we get squished out of this tiny little messy opening into a brash and harsh and loud and cold world. No wonder babies cry. But nobody sobs and cries when they die. They usually smile. So, why am I sharing these things with you? Because the things that you are worried about that might happen in the future, that might happen tomorrow, we don't know when we are going to be called out of these bodies. We might have a date that we have to, a date and time in which we have to be in a certain next incarnation, so that we have to leave at a certain time to be able to be reborn at a certain time, say with Prema Sai Baba. Or maybe to fulfill a particular task that requires us to be born at a certain age in order to enter into that particular field. Many people are leaving now for that reason. It's a timing thing, and it's appropriate. Sometimes children come in and they leave after a very short time. We just had that happen in my family. Little baby of 2 months suddenly left. Why? Well, I was shown that he had just a little bit of karma with the parents. Just a little bit, but didn't have to stay for the whole journey. Just had to come in and basically give them that experience. So we don't know the plan, but what we do know is the designer of the plan always has their ultimate highest good in mind, our ultimate absolute emancipation into immortal bliss, into co-workership, in myriads of worlds yet to be born and adorned with your expertise and your creativity. So I want you to realize that this moment that we are sharing right now, you and I, is the most important moment of your life, as will be the next and the next and the next, if you choose into God's presence, if you keep your eyes upon where you're going and you walk with the Lord. It is said in the scriptures that thou will keep him or her in peace whose mind is focused on thee, because they trust in thee. So there's no one way to come into that fellowship, that intimate relationship with the beloved, except your way. And each and every one of us is hardwired for a relationship with God, that nothing else is ever, ever, ever going to fulfill and satisfy you until you've gotten that. Nothing else in this world matters. Nothing. We're not here to survive and eke out a living and have kids and get old and play with grandkids and all that stuff. And die as ignorant as we were when we were born. We're not here for that. Oh, you can do that. But the most important thing that you're here to do is to awaken to your divine self. I can say it many other ways. But bottom line, that's what it's about. So every day that you haven't spent time romancing the beloved, you've wasted. How do you romance the beloved? Like you would engage in any other romance. You talk. You communicate. You find out what that beloved is pleased by, and you do that. Do you know, Sai Baba said that the only thing that Almighty God, who has created everyone and everything in existence, does not own is your heart. And only you can give your heart to the Lord. Isn't that interesting? That's the only thing God does not have. So God doesn't want prayers by rote and rituals and people fighting over the meanings of ancient books. God wants your attention. Do you know you always travel in the direction that you're looking? You always go in the direction you're looking. So where are you looking? Energy follows thought. Back to Metaphysics 101. Energy follows thought. Your focus determines your direction. But your thought always manifests a form on some dimension. And sustained focus and interest is what keeps fortifying and maintaining that thought form. That's an interesting thing. Because your mind, when you think something, your mind takes the shape of that thought, whatever it is. The mind assumes the shape of whatever you're thinking about. And as you think, you are. As a man thinketh, so he becomes. So when you make a choice, everything within you aligns with that choice or that desire, whatever it is. And everything conspires to produce that for you. It says the entire universe rearranges itself to accommodate your picture of reality. Because we live in a quantum field that takes form according to the consciousness that observes it. So when you make a choice and step forward into that choice, you activate an entire chain of allied possibilities that were not visible to you before you made the commitment. That's why a person's life can completely be transformed when they accept Christ. when they give their life to God, lock, stock, and barrel, however that happens, you are literally born anew. You'll have a new life, a fresh start. But you have to keep walking with the Lord. You have to read the teachings and practice the teachings and allow that divine spirit to transform how you think, how you behave, how you interact with other people. There's a period of discipling and maturation that has to take place. Because when you're born, you're brand new. You're a baby. You have to mature in that new state. Maturity looks like selfless love. It looks like living to make other people happy. It looks like being automatically helpful at any moment for any reason, not for any reason other than your nature as a pure emanation, as a pure instrument of the Lord is to love and serve. You don't think about it, you don't plan it, you don't calculate it, you don't put a label up, you know, that says I'm a such and such and I do this and that. I mean, we do that, but it's a bit of silliness. Why do we do that? So that people will come and buy our services, which is more of the ego. It's more of the mind calculating. So we come to a point when we don't need, want, expect, or demand anything from anyone. But we're here to give. And you know what? The giving hand never lacks. It's never empty. So that's a mature spirit. They're not trying to work a deal and get something that benefits themselves. It's not a calculated life. It's a guileless, innocent life. So the mind assumes the shape of whatever it's thinking about. When you think of the Lord is present in your mind. The name and the form of the Lord are one. So if you say the name of the Lord and you're thinking about the name of the Lord manifests as your form. Yeah. You began to look like the Lord. You began to act like the Lord. You know, people could always tell the followers of Jesus the Christ because they resembled their master. Oh, that we could resemble our master. I remember the first time I met John Roger. He didn't say anything about who he was or anything. But I was on an airplane with him, traveling through France and a few other places, and we went to see Satya Sai Baba back in 72. And I knew he had the Christ consciousness by observing his behavior because he behaved just like Jesus. I remember telling my husband when I got home, I said, John Roger is the first Christian I have ever met in my whole life. And he doesn't say he's a Christian. Some people ask him, are you a Christian? He says, oh, that would be my greatest desire, would be to be a Christian, a real Christian. But his behavior was unconditional, loving service. And with the group of us that were traveling with him, there was nothing that he wouldn't do to help you step free. I remember there was a woman in the group that was terrified of taking the underground tube And he took her on that tube and sat beside her as she processed through that fear. And he's done that with each one of us who are his votaries, whom he has mentored. He's walked us, whether it was in the physical or he took us in the spiritual bodies. He'd go with us through whatever it was that were blocking us, that we were afraid of. He's just like his master, Jesus. I can tell that John Roger, the follower of Jesus, because he's just like his master. So, what to do, huh? And it's an interesting thing that because time and space exist nowhere but within the mind, you are actually where you imagine yourself to be. For example, we'd be sometimes in an interview with Sai Baba, and he'd say, your body is here in Prashanti Nilayam with me, but your mind is in California. And so we're not where we think we are where the mind is focused. Do you know the minute you think of your past, you reanimate it in the present moment. You reassemble it. To remember means to reassemble, to remember it. And when you're remembering the past, you're not present here and now. And if it was an unpleasant past, you have just created that unpleasant past in this moment, which then casts its shadow on your future. And that's how we rob ourselves of the present peace and bliss of God. Another way is to find fault with, judge, and condemn another. Sai Baba said, when you do that, you forfeit self-realization and liberation. Why? Because those attitudes will not draw you near and dear to God, who is absolute purity and love. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. But how many of us see God? How many of us see God? We see a world. We see problems in the world. We fear the future. Why in the world would anyone go to a psychic if they were not afraid? If they were not afraid and wanted to be forewarned of what was going to happen, so again, they could control and manipulate the outcome. Do you see the absurd nonsense that we perpetrate in our lives that robs us of the present peace and bliss and presence of God? What matters about what happens tomorrow on the planet if it's only one big replay of something we've already been through before? Don't you think this time we're supposed to go through it in a more lucid and aware manner? Let's do this life awake, shall we? Let's pay attention to what we focus on. Let's invest our time to be with the Lord. Get to the point where you would rather be with yourself than anyone else on the planet. Why? Because you're living in God. You're living in the golden age. You're living in the presence of the beloved. Whereas most people are living in a world of their own interpretation. And it's not a pleasant one. Those of you that know me well know how much I dislike phone calls. Why? Because they pull me into someone else's state of consciousness, which is rarely one of upliftment. They pull me out of that. And when I'm by myself, I'm one with the beloved. And I'd rather be in that state than with anything or anyone else. Unless, of course, they're in that same state. But if you find anyone in that state, generally they don't interact much with you either because they're in that state. And they don't need company. They don't need to be entertained. They're immersed, drenched in the love of the divine presence. It's an acquired and cultivated skill to be God realized in the modern world, raise children, be a spouse, go to work, but it's possible. And that's what you got to learn to do. And the way to do it is to choose the path of divine neutrality, where you don't hook in. You don't polarize to sides on issues. You walk in the issueless state. Divine detachment, Vairagya. Divine detachment. Which makes you, oddly enough, fully present to be there for anyone at any time in unconditional loving service. That's what's so odd. The more you walk in that detached state, the more you're involved in service. But there's no agenda. You're not trying to get an effect or a return. You're just living as an anointed son and daughter of God. You're walking the path of mastership, but you're not even aware of it, because no one who truly is a master is out there with the label, I am a master. If somebody says they're a master, run. Run. I remember one. Sai Baba came to me, I told you the dream, where he's right in my face, and I was in the ashram. He said, what do you want? What do you want? And everything I said, he would point to me where that led. And one of the things I said, well, I want to be a master. He said, master is ego. You want ego? I'll never forget that. I want to be a Christ. Christ is a state of consciousness. You want to be limited to that? No, Swami. I want what you've come to give. And he looks at me very sternly. If I give now, are you ready to take? And that's when he turned up the purificatory fire in my body, hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter and hotter, until that little thing that tries to preserve its survival at all costs kicked in, and I became afraid. And then he backed it off. So we have to overcome the fear of God, the fear of awakening, the fear of realization, the fear of just being empty and letting God's will be done. That's our challenge. That's our challenge. And the price of that is mastering your mind. Because as the mind is focused, there is where your life is headed. So pay attention to what you focus on. Because that moment is a moment in eternity, which, if you would drop your body at that moment, you would be in that state of consciousness. So pay attention. Don't live a sloppy life. Live a God-focused, yielded, surrendered life. And love with all your heart. Love yourself, love God, love your teachers, love every living thing, and let all the rest be handled by the Lord. It's not your business. Your job is to belong to the Lord. That's it. So I hope this has been helpful to you. Let's take a deep breath and go out chanting Anaihu, which is an energy of loving accord and fellowship. Deep breath. Anaihu. And just see yourself holding hands with your brothers and sisters throughout the world. And send your love to every man, woman, child, sentient being throughout all of creation. And realize you're absolutely one. One divine essence. Simply playing at being separate. Don't be fooled. You've never left the presence of God in highest truth. Baruch Hashem Adonai. Praise be to the Lord. Namaste.